afternoon here at 97.5 The Fanatic. D-Line, I'm with you until 7 o'clock, and then Joe Stazak will be taking over for us. We move into the 4 o'clock hour, and we've had a lot of fun talking about documentaries of late, in big part because of The Last Dance. The last episode of The Last Dance took place last Sunday. Now you can watch them if you didn't watch any, and there's probably some people that like to binge watch. So now you can just watch all 10 if you wanted right in a row. So we'll continue talking a little about that because the last two episodes were phenomenal, I thought. But I also watched an excellent documentary lately, and it's called Basketball County in the Water, and it's a tribute to Prince George County, which is outside of the D.C. area, and there's a lot of talent that has come out of there, basketball talent in particular. And Kevin Durant and his business partner were kind of took this project on. And it's so funny. It came out in this time where we were spending so much attention on The Last Dance. But you don't just do this overnight. And this project was also years in the making. And on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast to discuss this project with us is Nolan Smith. Nolan, thank you for joining us. Long time, but a good time to talk to you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
Nolan, I watched it the other day, Basketball County in the Water. And obviously you yep. and so many others that are great talents have come out of this one area. When were you first approached about being interviewed for this documentary? And when you were growing up, did you realize you were living in this hotbed of basketball people?
It started about 3 years ago when I heard that the project was in the works. And then about 2 years ago, I got interviewed for it. About a year and a half ago was my first sit-down interview with the team putting the project together. And growing up in PG County, I never really knew it was special until I got older, probably high school years, when I started realizing and looking at the rankings and seeing like, wow, he's from my county. I know him. I grew up with him. He's from our area. He's from our area. It was like a long list just in my class that was just flooded with talent. So that's when I really started realizing like this area is really special with basketball players.
So Michael Beasley, who went number 2 overall in the NBA draft, well, he would have been at your era, correct?
Yes, yes.
And Quinn Cook is behind you, but you obviously are part of the Duke Brotherhood, of course. He would be in there. Kevin Durant, we know who he is. Victor Oladipo, Jeff Green, Steve Francis, Adrian Dantley, DeMar Johnson, yep. Ty Lawson. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
When you saw the documentary, and I don't know when that was, what did you think? What were your immediate thoughts about it?
My immediate thoughts about it were that, first, it was a great documentary. I loved it. I loved hearing about my county and where I'm from. But my real thought was like, wow, 56 minutes wasn't enough to really share even more, because there was more players that unfortunately weren't mentioned and that had a huge part to play in all of our careers, because the list of D1 stars and D1 players is much longer. But obviously, it would have been, I told somebody joking, I was like, it would take a Titanic-type movie to really tell the full story of how deep our roots are in basketball and in the county of PG.
Sure. And I think a lot of it, I thought it was interesting how they went all the way back to D.C., the Black YMCA, Martin yep. Luther King, the impact of his death, of forcing people to have to leave Washington, D.C., and ending up in PG County. I mean, the history yep. of it was so rich. Did you even learn anything in that regard, or did you know all of that?
I learned a lot watching that first part of the documentary. I had no clue about the transition from D.C. to PG County and how it all came about. So when I saw that, I'm like, wow, it really makes sense. And I'm sure all of us as young guys, we had no clue that that's how PG County basketball really got its start. And we're all just beneficiaries of the great background and roots of basketball in the area.
Nolan, DC Assault was the AAU team. Was that the first of the AAU teams in that area, and how long did you play for it?
Yeah, that was the one I think everybody knew about. It was really DC Assault was Adidas, and DC Blue Devils was Nike. And like Kevin Durant and Ty Lawson played for DC Blue Devils. But then I feel like everybody else was DC Assault. And it was Jeff Green, myself, Mike Beasley. We all were Assault. And when I first joined them, it was a huge honor, because when Curtis Malone reached out to play for his program, it really meant something. It was like going to Duke, going to the Kentuckys and Carolinas of college basketball. It was like, wow, I get to wear the DC Assault across my chest. We all knew what an honor and privilege that was.
You brought up Curtis Malone, and obviously he was part of the documentary, and I thought that was a good thing for them to do, even though he had to do his part because he is serving time for being part of a drug problem or selling drugs back in the day. But was that difficult for you because he became part of your family? He married your mom. He became a stepfather in addition to being such an influence on your basketball life.
Yeah, it was very difficult. And obviously the situation for the family is very difficult. For anybody that knows my family, they know what we stand for. And that was something that was just a shock to us. And obviously knowing everything that Curtis did for the community, that's all we knew. That's all we knew as far as the lives that he was able to save with basketball and what he was doing to help keep roots over people's heads. Like, that's what we knew about Curtis Malone. So when the news broke, and you know, when my sister called me and told me, like, hey, this is what just happened, it was like, wow. It was like, really? It was just a huge shock. But you know, now to this day, when I still think about him, you know, in my mind, it's only Curtis Malone, the basketball coach and the basketball legend in the D.C. area that changed lives and saved a lot of lives.
Including yourself, Nolan, have any of those? Because Quinn Cook was very tight with him as well, and Michael Beasley spoke highly of him. Does anybody keep in touch with him at all?
Absolutely. He actually just got home yesterday.
No way.
He's home now. Yeah, he's home now. Yep. Wow. He's actually in. He was in at the prison called Fort Dix, which is right outside of Philly, about 30 minutes outside. And yeah, he got released yesterday morning, so he's home now. And I think everybody has talked to him, and just, you know, I haven't had a full talk with him, but I'm excited to just, you know, hear about how he's changed and more about why he did it and what was going through his mind, just to make the decision to be in that business, of drugs. And, you know, if anybody knows Curtis, we all know his heart and his heart that he had for kids and for basketball. So I think the real story from his point of view, I think, is definitely going to need to be told. And it's a story to, you know, to hear. You know, obviously it's going to be very juicy.
Yes.
and for somebody who didn't know anything from me, I'm eager to hear just the mindset as to why.
Sure, because that's a person who basically was living a double life.
Living a double life.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting story.
Nolan, so you're now in coaching. You're working as director of basketball operations and player development at Duke after being a first-round draft pick back in the day and having an illustrious career at Duke. Do you enjoy being on a coaching staff?
Oh, I absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. You know, I've been around this game of basketball for so long, as you know, with Coach Jim Lionel, my father, watching them with the Washington Bullets. You know, I remember just being a young pup running around watching those two guys coach and, you know, be great coaches. And Coach Jim Lyon is obviously a mentor of mine now. And when I talk to him and talk to people that knew my dad, they're just like, man, his passion for coaching was just as great as it was for playing. And that's when I really made the decision to jump into this coaching game. And I'm, you know, I'm loving it. I'm learning under one of the greatest coaches of all time, Coach K. And I know I feel like I'm just getting my feet wet, but, you know, I'm truly enjoying where I'm at and enjoying Duke and back at alma mater and really loving all the players that are coming through. But we've had some pretty good ones.
I'm so glad to hear that your dad coaching is part of the influence of you choosing this career path.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've always wanted to follow in his footsteps. So this is another part of that.
All right. Now, I have to tell you, I saw where you tweeted out. I don't know what day it was, but like, what am I going to do without The Last Dance this Sunday? Right. So I decided I was going to go and see what your dad did playing against Jordan back in the day. And I should just tell people Derek Smith started out at Golden State, Sacramento, ended up, he also played for the Clippers and then eventually the Sixers too. But my dad told me when I was doing, I looked up these stats, he said, no one might even have this game of playing against Jordan when Jordan was a rookie and your dad had a monster game and they went like tit for tat, slam dunking basketballs. Have you seen this footage that he speaks of?
I have seen it. I've heard stories about it. I've heard that without the knee injuries, my dad was one of the best guards in the league. So now that when I hear that, when I watch The Last Dance, it made me grin a little. I'm like, hey, at least my dad's one of the few guys that was able to get him.
Absolutely.
I'm glad he got him. I'm glad he got him early.
I'm going to tell you, in that particular game, which was in the fall of 84, so Jordan's a rookie, but, you know, he's still Jordan coming out of Carolina, and he had 20 in that game, and your dad had 33.
Yeah.
That was good stuff. I love it.
Yeah.
One other thing I wanted to ask you about, because I had a student who was on a webinar with you, because I'm assuming it was associated with the Teamwork Basketball Leadership Committee?
Yeah.
Can you explain a little about that? Because he was fascinated, and I love that he really took to whatever you spoke about.
Yep. So the Teamwork Leadership Committee that I'm on, it's a committee with all operations people around the country, different schools. And really what I spoke about was just how we're leading right now for our guys using Teamwork, which is the app that we use to communicate with our team during the season. And obviously right now it's more important than ever, but just the leadership that I personally have to have and that our coaching staff has to have with our group of guys to make sure that everybody is staying together, staying connected right now, and staying connected and together is the biggest thing that we all can do right now in order to get through this pandemic that we're all fighting through right now. So that's really what it was all about. It was a great talk, and it's a great committee to be a part of.
Oh, good for you, Nolan. Well, I appreciate your time, and again, maybe we'll have a part two to Basketball County in the Water. Maybe there's stuff that we can convince them to still be told.
There's definitely something in the works. I'll tell you that.
All right, keep me posted. And is your mom well?
She's doing great. She's down here in Durham now, but she's loving it.
That's right, because she's a grandmother now.
She is a grandma now. She's about 2 miles from my house, but she's close by and comes over every chance she gets.
Well, you got to tell her I said hello. Tell your sister, Sydney, I said hello. And I really do appreciate your time. And I thought the documentary was just fantastic.
I will. Thank you so much.
Nolan, thank you. Take care of yourself. We'll see you down the road.
You too.
Nolan Smith, our guest on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. How about the fact that the guy, Curtis Malone, who was the AAU coach, that was such a you know, DC Assault. He told you there was one was Adidas and the other was Nike. And he told you the names that were on both. But he got released from prison yesterday. That is unbelievable. The timing.
I mean, it's amazing that it's what we talked about it last week. Have this interview today. And this all of this happens in the span of 6 days.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I know it's on Showtime. And I know, you know, that's not part of a lot of people's viewing package because it does cost extra. And I signed up because I was so intrigued and I needed to see it. So I was not disappointed. And to hear there will be a story told from Curtis Malone. And just for some understanding, like the FBI was involved in the drug ring that Malone was selling, meaning trying to track this down. And it was a lot of money was involved in what was going on. It was not a small venture, if you will. And to see those kids, they have footage of when he was sentenced and like these young basketball players filled that courtroom and could not believe what they were seeing. And when I say living a double life, that's what it was. All right, let's check in with Tony in Wilmington. Tony, thank you for your patience.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to weigh in on an interesting observation. And with Jordan Sabuan, first of all, I still say that Jordan's the greatest of all time.
Okay.
But as a complete player, I don't think I've seen, even in past times, I haven't seen a more complete player than LeBron. And I did some research, and I looked at LeBron versus Kobe, because they always have that conversation as well. A lot of people think Kobe is better than LeBron. And when you look at LeBron's accomplishments, other than the championships and points per game during the regular season, LeBron leads hands down in every category. Steals, assists, rebounds, blocks. It's not even close.
And that's with that's with Kobe, not Jordan, correct?
That's with Kobe. And he's already scored more points than Kobe. And Kobe played two more years. Like, he's way ahead of, it's not even close. But Kobe has the championships, and he has the points per game average a little bit above his during the regular season, but not during the playoffs. LeBron leads in scoring over him even in the playoffs. It's not even close. And so LeBron is the most complete player. Look, this year he was leading the NBA in assists as a power forward.
Oh, yeah. No,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I know, because on right after The Last Dance aired, the final episode, they did a poll on SportsCenter following that. Now, so you got to think of the timing. And they polled 600 people. And Jordan won every category, including being a better passer, which just isn't true if you're going to go by the assist numbers. It's just not true. So a part of the problem, I think, is I do think that the championships matter, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I agree with you that statistics also matter. I will say Kobe is tied with Jordan for the most all-defensive team awards, meaning making that first team. He did it 9 times, and so did Jordan. But in making first team All-NBA, LeBron leads that.
Yeah, and he had the Rookie of the Year.
Yep.
He's never averaged less than 20 points his entire career. He averaged over 20 his first year playing. And it's just like I think people get misled. And when they look at the greatest of all time, that dog mentality, that clutch. Now, when it comes down to that, I put Jordan and Kobe over LeBron when it comes down to clutch. In the fourth quarter, LeBron was never that dog, you know, that Kobe was and that, like, Jordan was. Like, give me the ball. I'm getting it. Everybody know who's going to get it.
Right.
And I'm going to score, and you can't stop me. But LeBron, he'll get other people involved. But that's the difference, and I think a lot of people get stuck on that. Like, if I need somebody at the last shot of the game, I take Kobe and LeBron over LeBron. I mean, Kobe and Michael Jordan over LeBron all every day.
Because they only want it to be them and nobody else who takes that shot. Yes. Yes.
And I don't think people take that into consideration in terms of, so when they say about the most complete player, I can't put anybody over LeBron as the most complete player.
Right.
Now, the best player
I got
ever.
You.
Yeah. And Jordan's the best ever.
Now, I have one question for you. Because Jordan going to 6 finals and winning all 6 of them.
Yes.
Does that factor in for you when people, like, when they want to say the greatest? I think that is part of the equation in their head.
It is, yes. I do think it's, yes. I do think that's very part of the equation. But, you know, a lot of this is subjective.
Absolutely.
Who Jordan played with. You know,
when
LeBron went to his first championship against San Antonio, he had Mo. who averaged over 20 points during regular season and couldn't score a lick during the playoffs. Yep. He had nobody to play with.
No, I agree. Especially
the best record in the NBA.
No, I agree. That first one for sure. He needed help. There's no two ways about it. We went through that roster a couple weeks ago just to look at it. And you realize there was a reason he made the decision to go to Miami, because you need some help. You can't do it by yourself.
Can't do it.
Can't do it by yourself. It's a team game. I mean, you can be the best, but you still aren't going to get it done by yourself. And that's why people like to point to, you know, Jordan was 27 or 28 when he won his first, because, you know, it took time to build a roster.
That's it.
Yep, I agree, Tony.
He had to learn how to play team ball. I mean, he came out, nobody could stop him, but they were losing every game. He was dropping 50, 60 points, and they were still losing.
Yep.
And so he learned how to play team ball. And they got a formula together.
And to trust his teammates to make, like Paxson making shots, eventually get Kerr, trust Kerr would make a shot. You know, Pippen, come on. That guy's, that guy was money for him.
Yes.
Yep.
I mean, he made every point guard famous.
Yes.
D.J. Armstrong, Paxson, Kerr, they just had a system. You can plug anybody in that system. And they, when you look at that team, one thing was unique about that Bulls team is this. And people don't talk about it. Most every championship team had a dominant center. The Bulls never had a dominant center. They won without a dominant center. They were throwing them Will Perdue in there, Luke Longley, Cartwright.
They
even had Parrish on the team. Like, they were throwing anybody in there.
Yep.
And it never, but all those, when you look at history, those dominant NBA championship teams, you had your Patrick Ewing, you had your Elijah Wiles, you had your Karl Malone. You had major, centers, even with Kobe and Shaq. You have major big-time centers.
Yeah, Karl Malone didn't have a big-time center with him. He was a power forward, but he had like an Oster tag. But I hear you, Tony. Thank you for weighing in, and I hope you enjoyed the Jordan documentary.
Oh, yeah, definitely do. Yeah. Amazing.
Well, if you get a chance, I'll tweet out if I ever see that it goes to YouTube, but this other basketball documentary, A Person Like You would love it, just because it seems like you're a student of the game.
Definitely. I was looking for it.
All right, Tony, take care of yourself, and thank you for calling the Fanatic. We do appreciate it. 610-632-0975. D-Line, I'm with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Saturday afternoon here at 97.5 The Fanatic. I am D. Lynam, along with Tyler Zuli, and we'll be with you until 7 p.m. And then it'll be Joe Stazak. Wow, that was interesting. So I just have to go back. Dirk Smith was a heck of a talent that came out of Louisville. And that was Nolan Smith, was Derek's son. And unfortunately, Derek died suddenly when he was a young assistant coach with the Washington then Bullets. But as a player, so my first meeting with Derek Smith, I was in high school and I was working the Los Angeles Summer League. And back then, that's where the NBA Summer League was. I don't know how many teams played in it, but it took place at Loyola Marymount. And anyhow, basically, I was doing where I would run stats and do all those kinds of things, to anything that needed to be done. I'm a runner, right? So they say this guy's flying in who's going to be participating in the summer league, and he needs a ride from the airport. And lo and behold, it was Derek Smith. And the thing about it was he looked so young, and as it turned out, Derek, as a freshman at Louisville, was only 17. And when he graduated from Louisville, he was 20. So he's a 20-year-old kid. And he got waived that fall by Golden State and then got picked up by the Clippers that was then coached by Jim Lynam. And so that was how my path originally crossed with the Smiths. And Nolan, by the way, I didn't really... he was the ACC Player of the Year in 2011, in 2010, he was on the Duke National Championship team. He made that all Final Four team. So he was a heck of a player in his own right and had some injuries after being drafted by the Portland Trailblazers. He went 21 overall. His dad had had a good, really good career. Also played for the Celtics after the Sixers. And he was just a fierce competitor. So that was just fun to go down a little bit of memory lane. But Nolan Smith is a name to remember because I think he's going to do very well in his own right in the coaching ranks. And he's certainly learning from a great institution, great coach with Coach Krzyzewski there at Duke. 610-632-0975. Let's check in with Dan in Omaha. Hi, Dan. How are you? And thanks for calling the Fanatic.
Hey, I'm doing great, D. That interview you just had was awesome. I'd never heard of this doc until you started talking about it.
I know it's a shame because, and I know Showtime does some great things, but it's hard because there's a lot of people who don't get it.
Yeah.
But if you have an opportunity, it's really, really well done.
Yeah, I myself don't have Showtime either, but I know some people who do, so when it's okay to start visiting people again, I might...
Yeah, there you go. And honestly, he is right. It's 54 minutes long. I felt like I could have taken so much more. You learn so much, and part of it, you know, because the Jordan doc has you kind of in this mode, but I also like that it's, for instance, I don't know if they've promoted the heck out of it, but the Lance Armstrong, but I feel like everything on that one is stuff we already know. And with the Jordan doc, there was some footage, even though we know what he accomplished, but there were interviews and stuff that had never been done before. And the same with this particular documentary, the interviews are really well done. And you cannot believe all the talent that came out of this one area.
Oh, when you guys were listing the names, I knew some of that, but not all of it. And anyway, the Jordan doc, it was great, even though I knew a lot of what he accomplished. But with this one, there's so much that I don't know about, so it's exciting.
Yes, yes.
I think I called in maybe 2 weeks ago because I was hoping they would show a lot of the that Pacers series
yes.
from 98. What did you think of that?
Oh, my. Well, first of all, there are two things. One, that I never knew the story that Reggie never called him his name again. He either called him Black Cat or what was the other one? Black?
Black Jesus.
That one. Well, because Michael called himself that walking off the court. And so but Reggie never said his name again, ever. So that was fascinating. And the play where he pushes off Jordan, right? Coming off the curl for the out of bounds.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that was perfectly fine in my book. Now, I know in this day and age, you're probably going to get called for a foul, but he was so money. And that series, I had no, my recollection was not good enough. And I so enjoyed watching it again.
Yeah. I certainly didn't remember everything about it, but at the time I do remember that most of those games, with exception maybe one or two, were like great games. It wasn't one of those seven game series where, you know, a lot of them are blowouts and just happen to go to seven games. And this was like five or six of these games were great.
I say they were the one legitimate team that is, as you're watching over the course of, because there were, you know, it was about 98, but they would go back in time for all the others. That was the one team that really legitimately could have knocked them off.
Absolutely. You know, I know he didn't contribute nearly as much as he did when he was with the Warriors, but I had totally forgotten that Chris Mullin was on that Pacers.
So did I. And the other, the Steve Kerr shot, I mean, which Reggie said changed everything with 6 minutes to play. You know, we think of only the Steve Kerr shots further down the road. I didn't realize that one was as big as it was.
Yeah. No, that was the other part of that that I liked. It was so funny was when they were showing that gal, she had like the sleeveless collared shirt.
Oh, yes. Yes. That was hysterical. Oh, the footage was good. And, you know, you had to get Reggie for that series. If you're not talking to Reggie, then you're, you know, that whereas Karl Malone was missing from the documentary, but because you had John Stockton, I felt there was enough there. But Reggie was essential to me to be able to tell that part of the journey.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a good question. What do you watch now? I mean, that was good TV for 5 weeks.
Well, you know what I have been watching in the mornings these last two weekends, and it gives me hope.
Soccer?
Maybe it's false hope. Yeah.
I watched it last week, and I didn't watch it today.
Well, here's the thing, and maybe it's flawed logic, but, you know, the KBO doesn't, you know, you can't compare that to MLB, right? I mean, it's just there's
no. I told Tyler, you know? And Tyler's a big baseball person, and I've watched the live a couple of nights. But you're right. It's not the same. But the level of soccer in Germany is high level.
Exactly. It's soccer is so unique in the sense that, you know, it seems in every other sport, the top talent all resides in one league. You know, in soccer, that's not the case. I mean, it's kind of spread across five or six leagues over there. And the Bundesliga is like, and that's a legit, I mean, to me, that's comparable to one of our leagues. Maybe not quite, but about as close as you can get.
Well, it's pretty good.
And just the fact that big time league like that can get things going gives me hope that maybe we can too. So
now I don't know who you saw play today, but I saw where Gio, because remember when he got scratched last week, that Gio was the 17-year-old kid. I think it's Raya.
Oh,
Gio Raya. I thought he was supposed to play today.
You
might not have had that game.
I'm so unfamiliar with who these. I mean, I know they're the team names, but as far as the individuals, I'm very unfamiliar.
I only follow him because he's 17 years old. He's a phenom, and there was a lot of hype about him, and he was playing at this level, and he got scrapped because he got hurt in warmups last week, so he didn't play. But then I saw a tweet last night that said he would be playing this morning, but of course I didn't. I forgot to turn it on, so.
Yeah. I just kind of had it on in the background, but it was nice to have anyway.
Yes, it is. Dan, I appreciate the phone call.
Yeah, thank you.
Have a great rest of your weekend. Memorial Day weekend it is. Look, see, the pandemic is creating soccer fans. There's a lot anyhow, but they're pulling people over, I think, Tyler.
I think it's what it's doing more so than anything is creating the American soccer fan. Because
yes.
I do think that there are a lot of people. Now, there are a lot of American soccer fans, don't get me wrong, but I think there's a lot of people that either feel like their allegiances are more closely aligned to the four major sports.
Yes.
Or they just don't view soccer as
me. And when you say you're talking about MLS.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I find more people tune into the Premier League.
I think that that's exactly right. I think that there is also, too, a lot of people, however, that are just anti-soccer for whatever reason. Maybe because it's maybe not one of the four major sports. Like, I mean, there's a professional league in this city, and maybe in this country, I should say, there's a professional league. And because of the fact that I think that all of the other professional leagues run through North America, the biggest leagues, namely, you know, obviously MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL,
right,
all run through North America, they don't feel as closely aligned with soccer because the MLS is not the biggest league in the world.
No, and part of when I say they follow the Premier League also has a national television contract in the United States.
Right.
MLS, you got to flip around and try to find your team. You know, they might have a local package. I believe it's on PHL here. Maybe I might even be wrong. I know I see it when we want to watch the Union. You can find it. But the Premier League is set TV time every Sunday morning. And, you know, that's a good deal for them. So I think that's part of it. Though, I was fascinated before everything shut down. It was for my sports marketing class. And we were talking about the Union and their season ticket holder. I mean, they have 19,000 people that go to games. So
it's a nice stadium.
It's a great stadium. It really is. They've done a nice job down there. And now they're doing even, I don't know how much, where it was when this all got shut down, but they are creating the waterfront that would, you know, be similar to what's in Wilmington. You know, there is businesses that have created on the waterfront down there, and obviously that's where 76ers Field House is. But that the Union Stadium is very, very well done. And I think they do a good job. Like, I've taken my kids there, and, you know, it's in Chester, but I think everybody, you enjoy going. It's a great experience. So, yeah. Gio, I didn't see what Gio did today. Rainya. I said Rhea. It's Rainya. But he is, he's 17 years old, and I know that I've read articles that he's worthy of me following. 610-632-0975. It's amazing. The Jordan documentary is, it's over, and people still have strong opinions about the documentary and about Jordan versus LeBron and just in general, even the Reggie Miller. We got to talk more about that series on the other side. 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
This weekend's programming is brought to you by Beats and Watson Premium Meats and Artisan Cheeses. So we move, no, what's about quarter of five here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we're going to switch gears and talk some golf. I know some people out there think that's shocking for me, but I am intrigued by tomorrow's match that takes place in Florida again. Last week's match, which featured four PGA players, you know, still teams, and the match was being played for charity at Seminole. This one will take place at Medalist Golf Club, which is north, right up the Florida coast. And it'll feature Tiger and Phil, which they played this kind of thing, an original match. I guess it was a little more, it's about a year and a half ago. Phil won in extra holes. That match, they were playing for money themselves. This match, they're not playing for money. The money is going to charity. And they each have a partner, but the partner is not a fellow PGA player. Tiger has Peyton Manning, who is said to be slightly better golfer than Tom Brady. And the format is intriguing for me. So the front nine is best ball. And on that front nine, Brady and Manning will each get a stroke on three holes. And on the fifth hole, which is a par four, all four guys will have to pick one club that they will play the hole with, including putting, you know, you're going to putt with that club as well. So I find that fascinating. And then the back nine is alternate shot, which also has some strategy to it. But to discuss all of this, plus the return of the PGA Tour, which will take place, my phone just told me that's in 19 days. At the Charles Schwab tournament, we're going to talk to two-time PGA Tour winner Jim Herman, and I want to ask him about Medalist. I've read about the course, I've never played it, and haven't been there. And one of the fascinating parts about last week's match was that Seminole had never ever had a live broadcast on its premises before, so people got to see Seminole in a way that hadn't been seen before. And one of the other things about tomorrow's is that Tiger is a member at Medalist Golf Club. So I'm very curious to ask Jim Herman if, you know, how much of an advantage is that? Now, also interesting, Tiger's good friend, Justin Thomas, he's a member there as well. And he's going to be one of the on-course reporters. So, and he should be fun because, at least from what I read, he's not afraid to, you know, kind of have some fun with that assignment. So we'll talk to Jim Herman about that. But I think for a number of reasons that this charity event is kind of intriguing from a competitive standpoint. Like one article, because if you were betting, the odds, Tiger and Peyton Manning are favored to win. And actually, Tyler, you had been looking at the numbers had kind of changed from what I had read to when we got here today. And it had dropped to minus 230 for those two?
Yes. I think it was 230 or 250.
And then 190.
Numbers are moving. Yep.
Plus 190 for the other two. So that was an interesting part of it. But in one article I read where they think it'll really come down to the football side of this. And so they pointed out that Brady is 11-6 all time against Peyton. And they say put your money on Brady and Phil, and that record would go to 12-6. I'm not so sure, but it's certainly fun to look at, and I'll enjoy watching it. I like seeing courses that you don't normally get to see. I did read. I know what was here when it was first built. They did a similar match. And it was between the top two ranked players in the world at that time, which was Greg Norman and Nick Price. And so that was what this course originally showed back in the day. And it was designed in part, Norman did it with Pete Dye. So, and there's apparently the 18th hole is something. Quite the challenging finishing hole. I also should point out that when Bobby Weeds redid the course in 2010, no, it might have been later than that. Anyhow, he definitely redid some part of the designs, which included putting in further back tees. They call them the Tiger tees, which Tiger and Phil will be playing from tomorrow. The other two will not, at least on the back nine. It didn't say about that front nine better ball part. But anyhow, the Tiger tees were lengthened on six of the holes. And that now that course from those tees plays more than 7,500 yards. Prior to those tees, I believe it was 7,200. So, yeah. It's just another in these non-sporting event times. Another little something that you can put on your calendar or if you're going to be out and about because tomorrow's supposed to be good weather, that you could set your DVR and maybe go back and see. I set it for last week's golf tournament and didn't love it, maybe because the conversation wasn't great. And actually, that was part of, this was fascinating to me. Tiger had talked about, and I don't know what production company originally or where he came up, who he pitched this idea to, but of the whole him and Phil originally of having the match. But what they found was that when it got to be close and now they're like in this hole for hole, and as I said, Phil won in extra holes, they had no conversation because they were so focused in on winning the hole and beating each other. And so the whole production of it kind of died. So they figure by adding a Peyton Manning and a Tom Brady to this scenario, and there are no caddies again, so that the conversation should be able to be a little better than when it was just the two of them, November of 2018. And then that one was played at Shadow Creek in Las Vegas. So all this golf knowledge I'm trying to remember back to. But again, no caddies, and I'll be interested. I told Tyler this because we know that Tiger's back had been bothering him, so I got to assume he'll be carrying one of those light versions, not his big leather bag. I sure as heck wouldn't. And so, but he has, in a recent article or a recent interview, he said his back is fine. And actually, this time of rest has helped, in his opinion, because the last time out, he shot a 79. And it wasn't the last tournament. That tournament that got halted was the Players' Championship the week of March 11th through the 15th. And as we know, the NBA shut down the night of March 11th. So they got one round in on the 12th for the PGA, the Players' Championship, and then they could not finish the tournament. On the other side, we're going to talk to Jim Herman, two-time PGA Tour winner, and we're going to talk about what his thoughts are on this match that takes place tomorrow. And it's the second week in a row that you've been able to watch professional golf that hasn't happened in the past, that's live and fresh and new. And this is all in preparation for the PGA Tour getting back to business. We'll ask him about that as we continue to talk about all these leagues that are, you know, coming up with ways to safely restart their respective seasons. 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.